Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil, John, and McKenna are back. And today we have another defining episode for you. We are going to be discussing D's defining episode from Survivor 45. It is episode number 11. This game rips your heart out, and it is when she makes her winning move in the game where she gets Emily voted out of the game with Julie playing her idol and takes all the information that Austin gives her and uses it against him. And this, to me, is why I keep ranking D as the number one winner of the new era. I think this move is just so good, and I think this episode really highlights her relationships with everybody on this season and why she's ultimately able to get so much information from everybody and why she's able to make this happen. So shows the social, shows the strategic. I'm excited to dive into this one. Our maybe last winner for this series. We think it is. We don't know. We think it is.
We'll find out.
Who knows? We'll eventually find out in a few
December.
Yeah. I was not excited to watch D play again, just for the fact of she's won the game already. I want to see other people who haven't won the game again. And then I watched this episode and I'm like, yeah, okay. So I feel like this series is an entire series about really kind of seeing why these players are on season 50 and kind of re-falling in love with them, which is a really great journey to go on. And so I'm excited to see D again, because of how her brain works and how she can maintain relationships while still using the relationships against each other.
Mm-hmm. I after watching it, this is the first time I've revisited season 45 since we watched it live. And boy, oh boy, Dee is just a spectacular Survivor player.
Yeah.
What she is able to do in this episode is incredible. And it makes me so excited that we actually have the potential of having her on our TV screens for the next 10 months straight. With her being on the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, Phil, you don't want to talk about the challenge. But, however, D's coming back for that. And we're getting a lot of D this year. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fantastic. Because the way she is able to navigate conversations, navigate relationships, utilize her relationships to gain information, to the point where everyone knows how she got the information and they just don't care. Because she's mm-hmm. so damn good about it.
Yeah.
I mean, this episode starts off with her and Austin on the beach talking to each other, having that relationship moment. Obviously, we're watching this now knowing that that doesn't work out, that they're not still together or anything like that. But it's the idea that like that ever could be a possibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the idea that Dee has this charm about her that relates to Austin in that way, relates to Mama J in a totally different way, relates mm-hmm. to Keturah in a totally different way. Like, D is truly one of those types of people who can get along with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be on display in this season because there's a lot of different types of personalities on this season.
Yeah. And that's so dangerous to have around, being able to navigate everybody. I think she's similar to Kenzie in that way, where Kenzie was having a lot of, you know, deep, meaningful relationships with a bunch of people. So I'm really excited with the winner status to then have all these relationships. Is she going to be able to let that go? Like, are people going to be able to let the winner go and focus on their relationships and think like, oh, Sandra, we bring her to the end, she's not going to win because she's a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Then Diaz, another two-time winner.
I think a lot of people might go into this season and just forget Dee's a winner. Not because she is not a magnificent winner, because she absolutely is. I agree, Phil. She's the best winner of the new era. But because I think she has that type of charismatic personality and connects with people so well that people just won't care. Mm-hmm. I think this is a person who, if she gets through the first vote or two, could be very, very dangerous in this game because she makes it so close. I think that segment at the beginning of this episode where we get the Rob and Amber comparisons and everything, and Dee's talking about how 26 days is like 6 months on the island and how deep the relationship goes, I think it really shows how Dee can relate to people because she takes that time and can build relationships that feel like they've lasted so much longer than they actually are. She feels it herself, but she also makes other people feel that way too.
And then she turns around though, and she's so cutthroat in such a subtle way that she's willing to take that relationship that she has with Austin and say, not best for my game. Austin shouldn't have told me what he told me. I now need to go do what's best for my game. And I'm going to tell Mama Jay because I don't want her to go home. And Julie then is able to play that idol, save herself. And Dee is able to say at the end, I played you for a fool, Austin. I really did. In this moment, I played you for a fool. And I got you to believe and eat up everything that I was saying. And I took the information you gave me and I used it to my benefit to beat you 5-3 right now.
And better yet, she has the foresight to know she still has to write Julie's name down in this vote.
Yeah.
That is one of the most, I think it's one of the most underrated things about this entire move, because it's very much framed throughout the episode that she is going, I believe even when she tells Julie the plan, she says, we are going to write Emily's name down.
Mm-hmm. That's the original thing. Yeah. And then they go off in the woods and she's like, no, wait, I'm going to vote against you. Then we can play it off as we're fighting, because then they can get two sides of plans and figure out what to do for the next vote while working together still.
Because by Dee doing this, there can be the doubt in people's minds of, was she tipped off? How would Julie know this was coming? Whatever. But there's nobody to know that the tip off happened. Yeah. And why is Julie going after Emily of all people, right? Like, Emily's kind of threatening, and obviously Emily blows up her game at the beginning of this episode, which we're going to be talking about Emily in a couple episodes here, and we're going to be talking about the previous episode to this one, which is when she does blindside Bruce. But like, it feels like, okay, if she's going after Emily, anybody could have told her this information, or she might have just played it smart and figured it out and said, I'm going to get Emily out of here because she's the one who could potentially blow up our alliance or prove to be the real swing vote. At this point, everybody kind of knows Jake's all over the place and nobody was really worried about Keturah getting to the end and beating them. So it's an interesting spot. And Dee just understanding that dynamic and realizing like this has to be a 6-1 pile on vote is great.
Yeah. And also she does slip up in a sense too, where she says, you know, Austin's my number one, don't vote for him. Don't go emotional. And it's like, is that emotional for you? Yeah. Because that's another one of your numbers. Austin's not really helping Julie because Austin wants Julie out. And then also at the same time, if Julie does write down Austin's name, then Dee's in hot water because then Drew knows that Austin told Dee, and now Dee told Julie and Austin's out of the game.
Yeah.
And there are so many opportunities in this episode for it to get out that Dee spilled the beans. There's even speculation about it because of the way that Julie plays it. But the way Dee plays in response to that is what makes it so that people are still questioning it after this. And quite frankly, not even questioning it. They just kind of accept the fact that Julie figured it out.
Yeah. And I mean, Drew asked Austin that, like, did you tell Dee? And Austin was like, yeah, I told Dee. And they're like, well, crap. Like, that's not great. But then with the vote, it kind of still masks it.
And Austin's like, I swear she didn't tell Julie. And that's enough for Drew and Austin to believe. Like, Drew believes Austin because Austin believes Dee. And up to this point, why would there be any reason not to believe in Dee? Mm-hmm. Why would you not trust her? It doesn't make any sense. So I think that she's going to have an issue with pulling off something similar to this on this season, right? Like, she's coming in, she's got a huge target on her back. People know her game, but I think she's got that disarming personality where you could say, oh, Dee, that's so silly. Okay, that's fine. And I think it's going to get people. Like, I still think that there's a couple people that she can get with this. It's not going to be to this level. I know people are just like, oh, Austin was a simp. It's like, Austin wasn't. Like, Austin's playing the game. He almost wins over her. And he does what he thinks is the right thing. He can't know the confessionals that D is giving. He can't understand that. Like everybody who's, you know, a couch playing Survivor player thinks that they know everything. Austin has no reason to doubt D, and she plays this so smoothly. John, you brought up the one thing though. That is really the only problem here is that she almost gets Austin voted out of the game. And she's very lucky that Julie doesn't go that way because Julie's still more concerned about protecting D in this scenario too. If Julie votes out Austin in this moment, season 45 might be one of the best seasons of all time. It's still a great season, but if that happens, it's not even because of Austin. It's just because of the shitstorm that would have happened after Austin going home here, of it being like D stuck her neck out for Julie and Julie did this anyway. Emily is still in the game. It's a mess at that point.
But I think that's also what makes D so impressive here, is that despite the fact that Julie straight up says the best thing we can do is take out Austin to separate him and Drew, and she still goes along with D's plan to get rid of Emily.
That is a testament to their relationship and how much of a hold they had together, even if Julie is questioning a little bit because of what D says about Austin. Like, is she going to pick Austin over me? But she still goes with what D wants because she thinks going with D is more advantageous for her game rather than getting Austin out.
Mm-hmm. And she knows at this point, right, it'd be a 4-2. Like, you have the numbers here, so you can think about still getting back with Austin and Drew. You know that, like, D has the relationship with Austin, and you know that D's also got your best interest in mind, truly, with Julie. Even though, what, Julie goes next? Or does Julie go at 5? I forget.
Drew goes next, doesn't she?
Drew goes next.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think what's interesting here also is we see it in Keturah's voting confessional. Who's she blaming if it doesn't work? It's not D. It's Austin. Mm. Right? And I think that's the big thing is, like, D had it in such a position where she almost couldn't lose at this vote. Because if something went wrong, everyone was blaming Austin anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
She just positioned herself in such a way where she could provide this information and not get blamed for providing the information because the person who provided it to her is the person who's going to get blamed for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, Austin would have been the one who had to take the fall for all of this, and she would have just been able to say, guys, Austin told me and I didn't want Julie to go. He should have never told me.
Yeah, exactly. I think she just plays all of her relationships so perfectly. And I feel she is a really great balance of social and strategic. And we really got from the editors a look into her social game and a look into her strategic game in this episode as well.
Yeah. And I think it's like kind of unassuming, right, with her at this point, mm-hmm. because up to this point, we really hadn't seen D do anything massive. And I think that's why, again, when I talk about her being the best winner of the new era, a lot of people are like, what did she really do, though? She got an alliance and that's all she had to do. That's the best way to play Survivor, in my opinion. Like, if you get a dominant alliance, like, it's why I consider Kim to be a better winner than Mike. Like, mm-hmm. Kim gets the dominant alliance and dominates and nobody mm-hmm. ever turns on her. And it, like, that's the other thing. In this episode, they're thinking about turning on Julie, but they're never thinking about actually turning on D.
Yeah.
D's always still got at least a little bit of a pull. And I know, like, then you talk about at Final Five when D survives because Keturah just comes and tells her. It's like, but again, it's this fact of people feel so comfortable and loyal to D. That's D's skill. That's mm-hmm. not everybody else being stupid.
No, I think one of the hardest things that anyone in the Survivor 50 cast is going to have is pulling one over on D. Because mm-hmm. D just will have her feelers out there and someone will likely be close enough to her to tip her off at every single moment.
Yeah.
And I think D has, I'm going to bring it into this podcast too, something like what Parvati has, where Jerry makes a quote of whatever she's got going on, can we bottle it and sell it? So, like, D has that aura around her that just, like, gets you to like them, gets you to laugh, have fun, and just want to keep them around. And that's a really big, big asset when she's coming in as one of the two asterisk winners of the new era.
Yeah. So What else is there really to gain from this? Because we've been trying to hit like 20 minutes with all of these, and we've talked about, you know, Dee's strategic move and what she's done. Is there anything to be concerned about after watching this episode? I know when we just talked about Chrissy, we talked about how that episode really showed off her flaws as well. Or did Dee really just play like a flawless game and you can't really have any complaints? Like, what do you think about that?
The fact that Austin gives her information here is obviously a boon. Nobody else was going to, though.
That's true.
Right? Like, they weren't. Drew and Keturah and Jake and Emily were intending to keep her out of this vote.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that she had built that relationship with Austin is the only reason they were getting to a point where there was a point where she could even make this move in the first place. So it does kind of fall into that same Chrissy camp that we were talking about, where if she isn't building up the right relationships, it could come to bite her.
But would she feel the tension? Would she know the cues around camp? Because she already knew what was going on, basically, with the idol. Would she be able to suss something out at camp that this isn't the right plan? This isn't the full plan. There's more going on here.
I don't know. I'm looking at my notes right here because I wrote down like some stuff for her. I don't know if she would have, but I do think it's interesting that when Emily comes back from the journey and tells the truth, Dee is the one who says, I don't buy that.
I don't buy it, yeah.
So maybe she was a little bit more paranoid about certain things that were going on, and maybe she would have been able to suss out that something didn't feel right. But we won't ultimately know until we get to watch season 50 because Austin does just straight up tell her. I think it's a good point, though, John. Nobody else seemed like they were going to. But also, maybe it's because Austin told her so early, we don't need to find out if anybody else is going to. Because remember, it doesn't seem like anybody's going to tell her anything either at Final Five. And then they ultimately, Keturah does. And that changes everything. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And again, Dee's in a very interesting position going into 50 where we get to see her play a different game beforehand. Mm-hmm. We get to see her play the challenge. And that, I think, is going to be even... I wouldn't say it would like define her the way this does, because I think this does define her from a social staff standpoint, strategic standpoint. Heck, we even get a close-up on her toes. I don't know if you guys noticed that in this episode, but there's a close-up on her toes in this episode too. But we're going to be
able to... That was also one of the episodes we were totally considering for Dee is the toes.
Sure was. But we get to see her play a game as a winner already, which is not something we get the opportunity to do with Survivor players all that often.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting seeing her navigate a totally different game that I think is going to utilize a lot of her skill set, especially her social skill set, because the challenge is so much about your social capital that it's going to be interesting to see how she can navigate that game coming in with a target on her back, but also having people who are larger. It's probably the closest you can get to a Survivor 50-esque cast without playing Survivor 50.
I also wonder if telling Julie that Austin is her number one was like a slip of the tongue, and is a moment like that gonna happen again? Like, could she just be rattling off and saying something and say something that she shouldn't? Because that spooked Julie a little bit. She still ultimately worked with Dee, but at the same time, she could have been like, I wanted to be your number one and I thought I was your number one.
Is it a slip of the tongue, or is it a strategic dropping of information from Dee as a bit of like an intimidation tactic? That's kind of more how I read it, where it's like, I'm saving you. The only reason you are going to be in this game is because I'm telling you this information. Don't screw me with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to look at it too. And I feel like Julie and Dee have good enough a relationship there that why should Julie ever want to turn on Dee? Right. I just want to bring up this one last thing. Like, obviously in this episode, we don't see Dee win immunity or win the reward. However, Dee is so good at challenges. And John, like you're talking about with challenge and all of that, like she is a very strong competitor with the potential for these two tribal councils per episode thing. I don't see why you'd want to vote Dee out early.
Yeah,
I understand that she's a winner and you don't necessarily want to let her get running.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I feel like you have to keep her early on because she's just too good at the challenges to dump early, and maybe you try to use her as a shield. But you can't. The thing is, Dee is so good at having little bits here and there with every single person that you can't let her get with too many people, or you could end up shooting yourself in the foot. If everybody's using her as a shield, that means somebody's got to go home other than her, and that could be you. So
yeah,
Dee's one of those players who will greatly benefit from if the public voted for a try swap or not.
Yeah. You get the try swap, she's in good shape. But
yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, we're going to be diving into season 37 next. We're finally into David versus Goliath. I know people have probably been like, what the hell? And we're going to be starting off with Mike White. We're going to be talking about Jackets and Eggs, which is episode number 5, the Natalie boot, which some of you might have thought we were going to do for Angelina. But actually, we're going to do Angelina's as a different one later on down the line. So we'll be starting off here with episode number 5, Mike White's episode. And yeah, 37 is going to be fun. We still have 3 of those people left. We still have Rick Devins and then obviously Jonathan and Emily. So Emily will be coming after we do Mike White's episode. So like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you enjoy Dee, let me know what you think of her game in this episode. And if you think that she actually has potential to win this season, or if she's just going to be kind of somebody that's used as a shield. Because I'm like, after we just talked this through, I'm like, okay, if you like Dee's game and she plays the same game, you probably think she's going to win. But if you don't like Dee's game, then you're probably thinking, crap, she can't just play the same game because then she could go really far and that's going to be annoying. I don't want to watch that game. So let us know what you think about Dee in the comments here, and let us know if you actually think that like she has legs on this season and can actually play a game similar to the one that she just won with. So that's all I got. McKenna, you look like you want to say something.
No, it's fine. I mean, she might not have legs on the game, but she could have toes.
She could have toes. There you go. So. That was for you, McKenna. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you with Mike White next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.